Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So now we're going to look ahead to the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. And I'm joined in the studio by freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry and producer and director Brian Redden. Hello to you.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you with us. Now, your choice, Brian, the first choice, has been getting great reviews. It's
yes.
on the cinema. Coming
yes.
to Netflix, though, on the 7th of November, which isn't that far away.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, I thought you'd have to talk about something like that in Halloween, you know.
You
do. You need a good scary movie. As you say, it's on the cinemas now, so go and see it in the cinema. And you should really go and see it in the cinema because it is, I've seen it, it's fantastic. And it really is a cinema experience. But it'll be on Netflix November the 7th if you don't want to spend the money. So you'd wonder, like, what could be different about this? I mean, how many Frankensteins have you seen? It's been made since the 1920s, 1930s. There's been so many different versions of it. But this is, you know, it's Guillermo del Toro, so, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting. It's going to look different, and it's certainly does, has a kind of a very gothic, dark fantasy feel to it, you know. But what's different about this, so the story is essentially the same. It's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and it basically follows, everyone must know the story of Frankenstein by now, so you have the doctor
hate him and he yeah
and he creates a creature. So the idea is that he's, you know, he's a genius, and you kind of get a bit of background, a bit more interesting kind of background to this, and try and figure out where the creature comes from, because, you know, in other movies it was always made up of bits of parts of bodies, but not in this. In this, it's one person. He's a dead soldier during the Crimean War. So he brings him into his lab and tries to reanimate him and brings him back to life through a lightning storm, electricity. But in this case, he gives him kind of superpowers, you know, he's kind of like, he's got regenerative powers. He can't be killed. He's exceptionally strong. So in this case, Victor Frankenstein, the doctor, is played by Oscar Isaacs. And the creature, not the monster, I always thought it was a monster, but he's called the creature, is played by Jacob Elordi, who's that Australian actor who's really good.
And very, very tall. So
He's incredibly tall. He played Elvis in that Priscilla movie recently. I thought he was excellent in that. But he's an actor who's going to be, he's going to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, he's just going to be huge. And I suspect he may even get an Oscar nomination for this.
Is this for adults now, this one? It's not for children, is it?
Not really. I wouldn't say it's for kids. No, it's kind of dark, and it is scary. It is pretty scary. What's different about it, though, is that it's kind of told from the creature's point of view. So you haven't really had that before. You've had it now and again. So the story is pretty much the same story. You know, he loves his creator. He doesn't like his creator. He wants revenge against his creator. He disappears. He leaves the castle, meets up with a blind guy who obviously accepts him for what he is because he can't see that he's the creature. So the story remains the same, except it's told from the point of view of the monster, of the creature. And he's really, really good, I have to say.
I think we'll be watching that one.
Yeah, a really subtle performance, even though, like, he's a giant of a man and he's full of scars and he's been reanimated and he's quite horrific to look at.
You have sympathy for Frankenstein.
Yeah, you do. You have sympathy for the creature, definitely.
So that's the 7th of November on Netflix. Yeah. In cinemas now, but if you want to wait, you can, because it's on Netflix from the 7th of November. That's Frankenstein. Now, this next one, I'm not going to hide my excitement about this. This is Trespasses, a book written by Louise Kennedy. One of the best books I think I've read in years.
Same.
I lost an entire weekend
book. It's so good. It's just such a beautiful book. It's about a young girl called Kusha in 1975 during the Troubles. She's working in her family's pub. They serve kind of both sides of the divide, we'll say. So she could have, you know, a member of the IRA coming in. She could have a British soldier coming in. She is a teenager. She's also, well, it's not a teenager, it's kind of young, early 20s, I think. She falls in love with a man called Michael, who is a barrister, married and Protestant. Not probably her best decision to make. She's Catholic herself, but she falls deeply in love with him. And the book follows their life while they're surrounded by a lot, like kind of a maelstrom of things around them, you know, personal, you know, familial, societal. And it's just one of those most beautifully written books as well. I totally agree with you. It's just outstanding. And to see this now being made into a Channel 4 series with Lola Pettigrew playing Kushla is just, I think it's going to be probably one of the TV moments of the year.
They better not,
of high hopes for this.
They cannot mess this up.
They cannot. Like, they just have such great source material, a great cast. The team behind it, you know, are really strong as well. Channel 4 are putting a lot into this. It looks, from what I've seen from the images, I haven't seen a preview yet. There hasn't been one shown in Ireland. So the fingers are all crossed that this is going to be good, but I would highly recommend people to watch it. Gillian Anderson is also in it, and she's an executive producer. She plays Gina, who's Kushla's mom, and they have kind of a fractious relationship. And Gillian Anderson always gives good bang for your buck, I think, when you see her on the screen. So yeah, all signs point to this being great. And if it's not, we're going to be very let down.
Very let
down. Fingers crossed that it's going
but
to be brilliant.
But it's on the 9th of November. 9th of November, Channel 4. It's a series, is it?
It's a series. I think there's 4 episodes, so it's not like a very long, kind of like a mini series based on the book. And Louise Kennedy, the author herself, was involved, I think, as an executive producer.
Oh, that's
on
good
this.
To know.
So that's always a good sign as well. You know, and I do think, just thinking about the book, I can't imagine there is a huge amount in it that they will have changed. Whereas I know there are other books that I've seen adaptations of and read recently, and they have changed a lot of things. But I think, given the source material, this is quite simple in terms of the plot. I can't imagine we'll expect too many big surprises, and I think that is going to be good as well.
Well, look, if you haven't read the book, now is the time to do it before that comes out on the 9th of November. You will not regret it.
Not at all.
Now, Brian, the creator of Breaking Bad is leaving the bad guys behind in this next one. This is a sci-fi epic, Pluribus.
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 Yeah.
Coming to Apple TV.
Doesn't sound good. Who wants to catch
what
that?
What is it?
So Vince Gilligan, the guy behind, as you say, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Great guy. Amazing TV producer, amazing TV writer. It's been a while since he's got a new series, and this is it, Pluribus. So what he's done is he's taken... So Better Call Saul, the great actress in that, Rhea Seehorn, who played Kim in that, who was... I don't know, amazing. He was denied an Emmy Award. I don't know why. She was absolutely superb in that movie. She's now the lead in this. But it's a really interesting idea. So it's set in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right? So it's the same setting as Breaking Bad. So you have that kind of bleak landscape and all that stuff going on. But what it is she plays this romantic author, right? Who writes these beautiful, romantic, historical novels. But she's a miserable person. She absolutely miserable. She's got no joy in her life, pretty much hates everybody. Then something happens. This is the science fiction element of it. Something infects people. A virus infects the world. It may be extraterrestrial, we don't know, but a virus infects everybody and makes them happy. So the whole world becomes deliriously happy. Everybody just wants to get on with their lives and make do as much as do the best they can to please everybody, keep everybody happy. Wow. Except her. She's the only person who hasn't been infected by this virus, and she is miserable. And everybody around her is annoyingly, gratingly happy, and she's trying to figure out why. And they're trying to figure out why she's so miserable, because some of them want to be like her and some of them want to win her over to their side. So that's the science fiction element of it. So it's kind of a dark science fiction fantasy, but also incredibly funny. And so that's it. And it looks really, really good. And she looks amazing in it. And it starts on Apple TV on November the 7th.
And it's called?
Pluribus.
Better than COVID.
Pluribus.
Anyway.
Yeah. Pluribus. It's from that Latin, you know. What's the Latin for one among many, non pluribus unum? Is
oh,
it?
Right.
There you go. That's it, chap.
There you are. So she's the one among many.
Okay. It's on Apple TV the 7th of November. Yeah. And Aoife, your next choice is another adaptation of an Irish book called All Her Fault. It's coming to Sky Atlantic in November.
Yeah.
This also sounds great. Nice and twisty.
Definitely. Very, very twisty. So I read a column for the Sunday Times and I wrote about all the adaptations last weekend, because there's so many Irish writers having their books adapted now, which is so great. And it's really good to see Andrea Mara's book All Her Fault being adapted for Sky Atlantic. So like you're saying, it's on from the 7th of November. This is for somebody, I suppose, who's missing like Big Little Lies, but they want a series a bit like that that's actually more twisty-turny. It's about a woman who turns up one day, she's called Melissa Irvine, turns up one day to pick up her son, her young son Milo, from a play date. She opens the door, she doesn't recognise the woman in the door of the house. The woman says her son was never there. She's wondering, hold on a minute, where is my son? She can't find him. So she sets off on this journey, you know, contacting the police, telling them my son's gone missing, trying to figure out where her son went. Did somebody pick him up from school? It has so many twists and turns. You know, if anybody's read any of Andrea Mara's books, she's got about 8, I think, since 2017. Any of them I read have tons of twists and turns and a few red herrings.
She keeps
you on.
The twisty queen.
She's a twisty queen. She really is. So it's perfect for a TV show. You can totally see why this was made into one. What's really key with this too as well is Sarah Snook from Succession plays Melissa Irvine, Shiv from Succession, in a very different role where, you know, or is it that different, I suppose, but she's, you know, someone who you don't know exactly what's going on maybe, and you kind of feel sorry for her and you're wondering, you know, how could this happen? You know, how can her son go missing? Does she have somebody to do that? Does her husband? You know, all of these questions. So it looks really well produced. The team behind it produced Downton Abbey, The Day of the Jackal, so it's a really big production. I think it was filmed in Melbourne, but it's set in America. So presumably some of the, you know, Irishness of it is completely gone, but the central story will be very, very similar. From what I've seen from the trailer, we can expect, you know, what we got really in the novel, but maybe a few small tweaks. But that should be great.
Yeah. Congratulations to Andrea Mora as well.
So such great big news. It's really great. She really writes very kind of gripping novels, and they're very, very popular as well.
Now, one for the comedy fans next. Well, it's a documentary about Eddie Murphy. I don't know how funny it is. It's coming to Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great documentaries there about comics lately. I just watched one recently about John Candy, which is brilliant. It's on, again, it's on Apple TV.
He was an interesting character.
Really interesting character. And it was called I Like Me to Break Your Heart. An amazing documentary. And Ben Stiller just brought out a documentary about his parents, who are also comics, Jerry Stiller and Anne Mara. So it seems to be in vogue at the moment to do documentaries about comedians. Eddie Murphy, I think, is particularly interesting because Eddie Murphy doesn't do an awful lot of interviews. We don't know an awful lot about Eddie Murphy's life. You know, he'll appear on chat shows and he'll tell gags and play the fool, but we don't know too much about him. Like, I was amazed to find out he has 10 kids. 10 kids, a huge,
busy man.
Massive family,
From various one with one of the Spice Girls.
With the Spice Girls.
Scary Spice.
Yeah,
oh, God,
Scary Spice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of his kids seem to live with him in this big mansion in Hollywood. So he's allowed the cameras into the house. Now, it's not like, you know, the Osbournes or the Kardashians. It's not that kind of vibe to it at all, because it's a proper documentary about his life. But he has opened up his life to the cameras. And the bits I've seen of it are really like, you know, he comes across as an amazing guy, an amazing father who really, you know, it's all about family with him. So what you have is...
Trust those documentaries though, that are a lot, you know, when you have all of his friends saying, oh, he's amazing, and you should
there's
have
a lot of that in it. So
you have
a lot of people in it saying how great he is and how groundbreaking he is, but he was. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like, before him, there was Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Before him, there was maybe Red Fox, but there wasn't a lot of African-American comics. Mm-hmm. So Eddie Murphy paved the way for all the guys who are there now. But first of all, obviously, Richard Pryor paved the way for Eddie Murphy, but the guys who are there now, like Kevin Hart, like Dave Chappelle, like Chris Rock, they wouldn't exist if there wasn't an Eddie Murphy. So he was groundbreaking in many ways. Like, he started off as a teenager on Saturday Night Live, started off doing his stand-up. Like, I remember as a college student, everybody had Raw. Do you remember watching Raw, his stand-up special, where he wore the red leather suit? I mean, it was amazing.
And then Coming to America, I remember howling
and then
laughing
at
that.
Then he broke out from that and he becomes this movie star, and he becomes like the biggest black movie star in the world with 48 Hours and then Beverly Hills Cop, and he was unstoppable for a very, very long time and really broke barriers, but wasn't afraid to speak out. There's clips of him like talking to the Oscars, talking about the lack of diversity in the Oscars and stuff. So he was always being very vocal about the African-American community. So there's another side to him. Now, on the other side of that, he makes an awful lot of rubbish. I mean, it's an awful lot of this. I mean, for every Beverly Hills Cop...
Always the bitter words.
But you know, for every Beverly Hills Cop, there's a daddy daycare, and it's like, oh, give me a break, or a Dr. Doolittle. So if you gloss over the awful crap that he makes, he does make some really interesting films and some interesting choices. And this documentary, despite the people who are just kind of, you know, plaudits everywhere about him, it seems to be interesting that it goes behind the scenes of all that and finds out a bit about his life.
We have a listener who sent the two sons out this morning, aged 10 and 14, to clean out the stables with a fork and a wheelbarrow to pick up muck, basically, on the promise of a trip to the cinema this afternoon, but there's nothing on suitable for them. What's the story, says this listener? It's midterm break and there's nothing, only a movie about Gabby's Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And Cats. We had the same situation last weekend. Oh, let's go to the cinema.
Yeah.
And there was a Zoopocalypse thing.
Oh, yeah.
That we went to see.
There's not much yet. There's Gabby's
Dollhouse.
It was
just really loud and I didn't know who it was
for.
But not much on at the moment for that age group.
Yeah, and there's probably an argument too, maybe to do more of kind of rep showings of older films as well, of older ones for children. If there's not that many actually coming out, then cinema's actually showing older ones so that they can watch them. You know, like that maybe isn't, like in America, you can actually get cinema as it just show older films all the time, whereas here we're a bit more stuck. And there are some cinemas that have, you know, do really interesting programming, the independent cinemas in particular.
Yeah, but to seek them out.
Yeah, it is hard when you're trying to get young kids, I'd imagine.
But don't bring them
to
Frankenstein, definitely not
for
them. They won't get in anyway, it'll be at 16s. There's Wise Guys 2 out there, which is not too bad, I suppose, if you like the first one as an animation you know, feature for kids. But you're right, it's not an
They're
awful
all,
lot.
They all go straight to streaming now for that age group, in the main, unless they're
superhero. They're all waiting for the next superhero movie. That's all they're waiting for, you know. No one's bringing anything until the next Marvel film comes out.
Yeah, it goes straight to streaming as well. Like,
A mention for I Love LA. This is on Sky Comedy, isn't
it? Yeah, this is a Rachel Sennett. So if people have seen the film Bottoms, which is quite a funny comedy, or Shiva Baby, which is possibly less seen, but is really good as well, a really good American film. She is kind of a Gen Z millennial actor. She's one of those people who's very good at the like Gen Z stare and the kind of, her photographs, she always has a slightly dead-eyed look in it. She's very funny and deadpan. She's written her first series called I Love LA. And it's kind of like Girls for the current generation of young women in their 20s, where she is trying to make it up the career ladder and a friend from her past comes to stay and her friend is having completely wild life and she's wondering, oh, hang on, why am I trying to kind of do these things in the career world when I could be maybe doing it something a bit more exciting and wild like my friend here is doing and maybe hustling a bit harder. So it looks really bright and sparky and it's got, you know, great cast. It's got Josh Hutcherson in it and also has JT Firstman, who if you spend too much time on Instagram like me, you will know is a very funny Instagram presence since COVID, and he's also a very funny actor. So this, I think, is going to be a bit of a breakout for her into the telly world, but maybe getting a little less attention than other series. But I think it would be worth watching if you liked Girls, etc.
So that is I Love LA on the 3rd of November on Sky Comedy. There's a lot we didn't get to as well. Malice on Amazon on the 14th of November.
That could be interesting.
Jack Whitehall in
a
serious role.
Jack Whitehall playing a bad guy.
Interesting move.
He's a nanny who takes out, who's looking after his family, and he has kind of sinister motives. So who knows?
Malice and all the others. Thanks so much,
Thank
Brian
you.
And Ethan.